Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talking some Orioles inside the warehouse with Hall of Famer Jim Palmer on the Ackerman Security Hotline. Jim, how are you? Appreciate your time.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm good, thanks.
Now, doing great, Jim. Thank you very much. Hunter Harvey yesterday was hitting 96 on the gun, I guess was sitting at 94 down there in a minor league game, or the exhibition game, rather. You came back from injuries yourself. It took you a couple years to get back, and, you know, 69, it all turned around, and you became the Hall of Famer that you are. We saw the Orioles, how they handled Dylan Bundy. How do you think they're going to handle Hunter Harvey? How should they handle Hunter Harvey?
Well, they should certainly be careful. And, he's had so many different types of injuries. He's never had any shoulder injuries, but, you know, he's had the Tommy John surgery, he had the broken tibia, he had a hernia. I mean, it's, you know, kind of a multitude of different injuries. It's interesting. He's never been able to, because of all those injuries, to get the innings to kind of where you'd like. Obviously Dylan Bundy was in the same situation. You know, I was fortunate enough. I mean, I pitched, 129 innings my first year in A-ball. And then I went to instructional and pitched another probably 60. And then, because there was a good chance, because of the way the rules were back then, I might have to stay with the big league club. And so, I pitched close to, 200 innings when I was 18 years old. So I got my innings in. Hunter's never been able to do that. So, Buck Showalter said when I was over the week before last to do a game against the Cardinals, he said, he could be our best pitcher. And I think that might be a stretch because of the lack of experience, but he certainly has good stuff. He's certainly a guy that, very much like Gausman and Bundy. He might even have, after Dylan's injuries, probably maybe a little bit more velocity. But he's got to learn to pitch. He's got to be able to prove to not only the team but himself that he can go out there every fifth day and, get some innings in. And, maybe he's one of those kids that, depending on how the Orioles are doing, that he comes up and, pitches late in the season. Or I think, nowadays they'll just watch his innings and they'll see how he is. But hopefully he can get out there every fifth day and then things will just kind of fall in place because he's a very talented young man.
Jim, what do you think of the talent of this rotation that they have right now? Or would you like to see them add a piece or two?
I'd like to see him add about three, but I know that's not going to happen. I mean,
so would Haney.
I don't know the latest number of how many starters per team, but in 2016 it was 9.5 to 11 starters. So, there are some teams that had to use 20 starters last year because of injuries and, ineffectiveness and so on and so on. So, you not only want quantity, but you want quality. And, Cashner's certainly going to help him because he pitched actually against us twice last year. The key for him is very much like Hunter Harvey, obviously, a little bit older, considerably older and more experienced, but he just has to be able to go out there every fifth day. And, he's kind of a two-seam fastball with a pretty good breaking ball, and, he knows how to pitch. So he just has to stay healthy, and he'll probably be an upgrade. I mean, if you start looking around, Chris Tillman is back. Hopefully, I watched him throw the week before last. But, he's got to get his innings in because, number one, you want to see how he's going to do. Number two, he needs to regain his confidence. So we'll see if they allow him to actually pitch in exhibition games over the next couple of weeks or 2 to 3 weeks before we started on the 29th against the Twins. And, Gausman just wanted him to be more consistent, something that's kind of evaded him the last couple of years. He figured out how to win on the road. Now he's got to kind of be as good as he was in August and, or at least maybe July and August over 6 months. And, that's part of the maturation process. Dylan Bundy, he's not a kid that throws 97 or 98 anymore, so he needs to pitch, but he certainly knows how to do that. And for him, it'll be the battle again. It's just to be able to go out there every fifth day. And the Orioles were very good for him last year because they scored him a lot of runs. Got off to a great start early. So I think, he's going to be able to, use the knowledge that he learned in his first year and, take a step forward. And I don't know if he'll win 13 games. Hopefully he'll win more than that. But, that was the fact he pitched so well early. They supported him well. And hopefully, the offense will maybe Davis will come back and Trumbull will come back, and all of a sudden you'll have one of the better offenses in the American League East.
Jim Palmer, Hall of Famer, joining us here, 105.7 The Fan, Vinny Serrato, Bob Haney on this Woman Crush Wednesday. We talked about Gausman. Another brutal first half for him last year, Jim, after seeming to right the ship in the second half of 2016. What went haywire for him in the first half? What did he correct in the second half? And how confident are the Orioles that he can be a sixth-month guy now?
Well, you don't know that. I mean, that's the great part of the puzzle. You know, I don't care how much talent you have, and he certainly, he's got a great arm. He can throw 94 to 98, and he's got a great split. Slider was a little bit better the second half. But to me, I mean, the 28th of April, 9-1 lead in Yankee Stadium. You know, the Orioles were on their way to a 22-10 start. He couldn't hold that lead. Brock couldn't hold an 11-8 lead in the ninth inning. Britton had been hurt at the time. They end up losing 14-11. They lose the next day. You know, Gardner had a home run almost the whole month of April. He hits two off of Ubaldo Jimenez. And the Yankees, they win 2-3. I mean, the Orioles' ERA in Yankee Stadium last year was over 9 runs a game. So, you know, obviously Gausman is a big part. I mean, 9-1 lead there, 5-0 in Kansas City. The Orioles didn't win that game. So those are games usually that he's able to win. You know, you go back 2-3 years ago, didn't matter how he pitched because they didn't support him very well. Last year, he did get good run support and early on wasn't able to hold him. It's just to me, he moved over on the pitching rubber more towards first base, gives him a better angle to home plate. It allows you to maybe not work as hard with your delivery. So, you know, he's learning. They've been able to make inroads in that. And, you know, again, for him, shoulder problems in early 2016. Last year, he was healthy. But again, he just has to, it's your third full year starting. You know, you want to get to the point where you're one of the best pitchers in the American League. And again, talent-wise, that's not out of the question.
Hey, Jim, do you think there's more pressure on the players this year? Because you need to actually have a decent first half. Otherwise, a lot of the players on the team may be gone at the trade deadline.
Well, I don't think that's pressure. You know, they're all paid pretty well. I mean, you know, they just need to figure out what they need to do to come to the ballpark. You know, when I played for Cal Senior in Aberdeen, South Dakota, you know, we're making $414.14, living in basements, $3 a day meal money. He just talked about coming to the ballpark and, you know, having a work ethic that, you know, is second to none. Come to the ballpark every day, try to get a little bit better. Do something that's going to make you a better hitter, a better pitcher, a better fielder, whatever. So work ethic, very important. Have fun, which, as he pointed out, you win. And the other thing is there are no such things as shortcuts. So I just think the Orioles, you know, it's a day-to-day process. You know, I got a real tough schedule early on. I think 5 of the first 7 series are against teams that were in the playoffs. I don't know if they'll be able to replicate their 22-10 start last year. But that didn't have a lot of significance either because they only won 75 games. So it's a matter of being consistent, win the games you're supposed to, show up every day, play well, play hard. And the other thing that Cal told me, and I you're playing not only for yourself, but you're playing for the fans. So, the Orioles need to just do what most Buck Showalter teams do, which is come to the ballpark, have a chance to win. They're going to be the underdog. That'll probably take less pressure. Put less pressure on them and just kind of go from there. It's going to be tough early. You know, you start with Minnesota, then you go to Houston, then you go to New York, then you got the marathon weekend in Fenway Park. You know, all those teams are obviously on paper better than the Orioles. So the Orioles are going to have to surprise some people. And, you know, maybe they'll look in the mirror and surprise themselves. But I don't think anybody feels pressure because, you know, again, I mean, just go out. They have a lot of veterans on this ball club. You know, the guys that had, you know, off years, Chris Davis and Mark Trumbo, they need to prove to themselves and to their managers and coaches that they're better players than they were last year. And certainly they're capable of doing that.
Jim Palmer, Hall of Famer, joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Kevin Cash, manager of the Rays, Jim said they're going with a 4-man rotation. You got the golf carts coming back now, 4-man rotations, Major League Baseball. How does that work in 2018?
Well, it may work for Kevin because Stuart Sternberg said, hey, we're going to dump $13 million, off our payroll. We got 13 arbitration eligible players. So they had a fire sale. I mean, they had some pretty talented guys. It, you know, they play better than the Orioles last year. I mean, the Orioles finished last, so but they're not the same team. And you're a young team. They have, you know, Odorizzi now is with Minnesota. You know, I mean, Chris Archer's there. So maybe that will sell well there. But, I mean, somebody said yesterday, well, you know, you pitched, you know, 250 to 300 to 20 innings, and you did it, you know, for 4 or 5 years. It's actually, you know, it's more like a decade, but everybody did it then. But you had four-man rotations. That's the way you made your money. If you won 20 games, you know, you could get maybe a $17,500 or a $20,000 raise if you threw a Cy Young award in there. Times have changed. There's no incentive for guys to pitch longer or more innings because you get paid a lot of money not for doing that. Even though that has changed a little bit, you've seen guys, you know, once you get over 30, whether it's Cobb, whether it's Lynn, or, you know, whether it's Arrieta, where you're not going to get the long-term deals. So, I mean, I think probably the good thing, even though I'm sure the players union won't agree with this, because they say maybe there's some collusion going on. The good thing is that some players are going to have to sign one-year deals, you know, and then hope to get, you know, more lucrative long-term deal down the road. But at the end of the day, you're kind of going to have a, you know, a play-for-pay type of concept. And that's a little bit foreign to a lot of baseball players because you get the long-term deals. You know, not every at-bat means as much as it did when I played. Doesn't mean they're not great players, because they are. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, the incentives are going to be greater to be, as Cal the senior said, used to say, you know, be a little bit better every day. And hopefully the Orioles will be able to do that. You know, but you're not going to find many teams that are going to go on a four-man rotation.
Jim, your expectations for the O's this year, from what you've said, you've done a couple games, you've been down there some. What do you think for this ball club this year?
Well, you have a lot of guys that, you know, I mean, you got Manny who wants to, you know, I don't know if he'll be with the Orioles next year. They certainly have enough money to pay him, but he may want to go to a more glamorous team, big market team, you know, whatever. But he's got to show people he's a better player and a more consistent player than he was last year. You go into the middle of May, he was hitting about .215. You know, he ended up with 33 home runs. You know, he had more RBIs, and, you know, on base, you know, the runners with scoring position numbers were better than the year before. You know, he's got to prove that he can play shortstop. I mean, I think, I don't know. There's a lot of question marks. You know, starting staff, it's, you know, New York's better, even though, and the Red Sox are better than the Yankees. Toronto's got a better starting staff. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a matter of how well your team plays. Can you win one-run games? I mean, the Yankees won 91 games last year. If you look at the numbers, the analyticals, they should have won 101. They were like 18-26 in one-run ballgames. So that seems very hard to believe with as good a bullpen as they had. But, you know, sometimes you look at numbers. So for the Orioles, hey, you're going to show up. You know they're going to be ready to play. I hope the starting pitchers, I mean, I hope Tillman comes back, because that'll give them a guy that was as good as pretty much any pitcher in the American League as far as consistency. So he's got to prove to himself and the Orioles he can do that. And, you know, you'll take your chances. You know, Britton will be back probably. I think he'll probably accelerate. I think he'll be back in late May or middle May. So hopefully that'll be. And then all of a sudden you'll have a great bullpen. You know, the defense may be better. I mean, Rasmus, if he makes the ball clubs, a much better right fielder than Seth Smith. So they got a lot of positive things. You know, they got question marks. I mean, I look at Trey Mancini and I said, this guy knows how to hit. Now, I don't know if he's going to hit .340 with runners in scoring position, but he uses the whole field. He's a real extremely hard worker. You know, he understands, I think, what any of us ever understood, which is you have a great year in 2017, they take away those numbers. So you got to prove to yourself and to everybody else you can play this game at the same level, and hopefully he'll be able to do that.
Jim Palmer, Hall of Famer, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Jim, one more thing. I don't want to hold you up too long. Always wanted to ask you this question. I was 11 years old at Memorial Stadium, 1976. You guys playing the Yankees. Doc Ellis blast Reggie Jackson in the face with a fastball. You come back and hit Mickey Rivers, which at the time the Orioles weren't really known as a team that retaliated to that sort of thing. Explain what led to that confrontation and why you had to step up for your teammate, although briefly, only 5 months.
Well, you know, Reggie, it was the only year that Reggie played for the Orioles. And, you know, somebody tried to fake a bunt, and, you know, Doc, I can't use the language, but Doc said, you know, the next guy tries to do that, you know, I'm going to hit him right in the side of the head. And Reggie got up on the top step and says, you want to hit somebody, hit me. Well, next time he came up, hit him right in the side of the face. I mean, luckily, it didn't hit the cheekbone and went right between, but they did bring out the, you know, whatever the emergency medical ambulance. They brought it out on the field. They took him who took him off the field and probably took him over to Union Memorial Hospital right down the road from Memorial Stadium. And when I went out to pitch ninth inning, I had a 4-0 lead, and I was looking forward to pitching another shutout. And for the only time ever, Earl Weaver said, we can't let that happen, mainly because of the dialogue between Doc Ellis and Reggie. I mean, just because a pitcher yells in, I'm going to hit somebody, and you say, hey, you hit me, you don't expect him to do it, but he did. So Elrod Hendricks was the first batter. Well, you know, he'd been traded midseason long. You know, we made the great Dempsey, Dippy Martinez, Scotty McGregor trade. Holtzman and Elrod and a number of other players went over to the Yankees. So one good hit, Elrod, he caught my no-hitter. So I threw him a high curveball, and he flew the warning track and right. And here came Mickey Rivers. Now I'm thinking, you know, Earl told me to hit him or, you know, take care of business or show him. Well, it took me 4 pitches to hit him, and I probably threw 155 pitches that night. And not only did I hit him, it took me, I mean, I just nicked his uniform, and he went down to first, and we played behind him because we have a 4-0 lead. So he steals second. Roy White hits a single. I win 4-1. You know, the writers are saying, well, did you protect Reggie? And I said, well, you know, ask the umpires. They heard the dialogue. I said it was rather obvious what happened, especially if, you know, if you had the dugout mic. So we went to Detroit the next day, and the phone rang when I got to my room, and it's Lee McPhail, who's president of the American League, and he said, hey, how's the family? How's the weather? How you feeling? Because he had been my first general manager with the Orioles, and now he's president of the American League. He said, hey, I read what you said in the paper. That's going to cost you $500. So for the only time that Earl Weaver ever said, you know, we got to protect somebody because of what happened between Doc Ellis and Reggie, it cost me $500. So I get the Joe Cronin Award, and I'm sitting next to Lee up in New York because I'm going to get the award during the playoffs. And he looks at me and he says, hey, how's the weather? How you doing? How's the family? By the way, I've never gotten the $500 check. So anyway, I just kind of ignore him. And, you know, the winter goes by, go to spring training. And, the day before the opener, when I'm going to pitch the opener in, I don't know, maybe 1977, I get a telegram. If you plan on pitching tomorrow, you owe me $500, Lee McPhail. So I had to pay $500. I don't think Doc Ellis ever got fined. Reggie went to the hospital and really wasn't hurt significant, but it's not easy to get hit in the side of the face and then come back and play, but he did. So that's kind of the genesis of that story and kind of the ending along with it.
Jim Palmer, Oriole Hall of Famer, Baseball Hall of Famer, 105.7 The Fan. Jim, we appreciate the time. We'll be watching you and listening to you on Mass and all season long.
Okay, you guys take care.
Yep, thanks,
thank you,
Jim.
Jim Palmer, Hall of Famer, number 22 on the Ackman Security Hotline, Vinny and Haney.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.